This is Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. No thanks. Yes, please. It just puts more drunk people on the road. I know the Puritans didn't enact this law, but it reminds me of them. Those are just some of the responses that we got when we asked listeners about whether they think Massachusetts should bring back happy hour. Hasn't existed here since 1984, but if it were up to the Massachusetts Senate, it would. And here to talk more about what it would mean for us, Philip Frateroli, a managing partner and CEO of Philmark Hospitality Group, which owns restaurants in Boston and Winchester, and Cheryl Strotter, owner of Soleil Restaurant and Catering in Roxbury. She's also a member of the Boston Black Hospitality Coalition. Philip, welcome back.
Thank you.
And Cheryl, welcome back to you as well.
Thank you. I appreciate being here.
So as we got ready to do this, we were really struck by how many of our listeners responded to the question about how they felt and how polarized they were. NBC 10 reporting from late last month showed about 70% of state residents want happy hour back. Philip, does it track with what you hear from people about this?
I mean, sure. I think everybody likes paying half price when they have the chance to do so. But I think as restaurateurs and operators in Massachusetts, we have bigger concerns about what it means for our businesses and what it means for society in general to just get people loaded up and put them out in the street in the afternoon.
And that's really how we'll have this conversation today. We'll talk about the business side. We'll talk about the safety side. Cheryl Strotter, as I turn to you, I'm going to bring another listener voice in right now. Will D'Arcangelo of Fitchburg said, definitely not in favor of reinstating happy hour in Massachusetts. I remember the old days and how dangerous the roads could become. If it comes back, I will be altering the way and times I am on the road. So 70% in favor, but a voice like Will's there too. What have you heard, and do you remember a different time?
I do. I remember happy hour back in the 80s, and it was a way for people to socialize after work, connect with their friends. And as Philip said, there is a concern that is around safety. Even though 70% of the population would like to see that back, there's so many things that I'm sure were raised during our conversation that are important to the restaurant industry and folks like myself.
Okay, so this is kind of a funny question, Philip Frateroli, but we have people who could be almost 40 years old and not have experienced happy hour. So let's actually go back and define the term. What does a happy hour look like in a restaurant or bar? What do establishments offer?
So traditionally, it's something to the akin of like half-price drinks for an hour or two in the after work hours. But in Massachusetts, since the 80s, there's been a prohibition on drink specials that last for less than a week. So restaurants and bars have the ability to discount alcohol if we want to try to move something to get rid of something that's no longer in stock. But the special has to last for the week. And restaurants are being creative and have been creative in Massachusetts with, I've heard of appy hours with appetizers. I've even heard of yappy hours where people can bring their dogs to an after work setting.
Is it bad that I really like the idea of a yappy hour?
That's creativity. But what happy hour represents to us in the restaurant business is just a race to the bottom. It's a contest of who can discount their alcohol lower. And what does that serve? I mean, we're in the middle in the restaurant industry and in the country of a massive inflationary issue right now. I'm sure Cheryl and all restaurants out in the country are struggling right now with raising our prices on food and drinks because of the massive increases that we're getting from our distributors.
So that's Philip Frateroli. He's the managing partner with Philmark Hospitality Group. Let's turn now to Cheryl Strotter, owner of Soleil Restaurant and Catering in Roxbury. Cheryl, your reaction to what we just heard from Philip.
I totally understand and respect the position. For me, I would like to see it implemented in a way that is more responsible than it was back in the 80s, because I do agree that not only was it a concern for consumption, it was a concern for safety. So if I were to implement something like that, I would look and consider what would it cost for my insurance? You know, what does that mean for me as a restaurant owner and my liability should someone have too much to drink? Do I set up a two-drink minimum for that hour, knowing that, you know, I am now taking some responsibility of monitoring the consumption as opposed to the race for the bottom, because I'm sure there would be some in that position that would try to do that. You know, let me consume as much as I can during this 1 to 2 hour period and not even worry about eating something to try to balance that. You know, you have to consider all of the variables that you could imagine that this would cause. And yes, everything in our industry has gone up. So there would be a lot of competition in terms of creativity and, you know, who's pouring the alcohol? Are they pouring, you know, the correct amount? Are they overpouring? There's so much to this discussion that I don't think it's just a one-shot deal to fix.
Okay, so the two of you have really helpfully laid out alongside our listeners all the yin and yang in this, the pros and cons, from people saying, you know, this is puritanical to I don't want to be on the streets when people are drunk to, wait a minute, you want us to drop prices just as the cost of all our supplies is increasing, to you, Cheryl, saying, and then there's liability. So now I'm creating conditions where people can drink more alcohol in a short period of time. That all harkens back, and we've talked about this 1984, that all harkens back to what happened. And let's pick that up a little bit. So the state banned it in 1984 following the death of a 20-year-old woman, Kathleen Berry of Weymouth. She had been hit and dragged in a parking lot by a friend who was intoxicated after a happy hour. We were the first state to ban it. We remain only one of a handful that still have that ban. And State Senator Julian Sear proposed the amendment to the Economic Development Bill, which is now sort of dead in the water, at least for a while, to do this. So here's Julian Sear.
It empowers municipalities to determine on the local level if they'd like to offer happy hour. We've heard from cities and towns, from some small businesses, from people in our community, right, that happy hour is a tool that could help bring more people back downtown, back to Main Street, help bolster small businesses who want to offer it.
So, Philip Frateroli, you own restaurants in both Winchester and Boston. This is just saying, let cities decide. Such a bad idea to just let cities decide?
Well, I'm for you know, obviously municipalities to make up their own mind, but this was included in the economic development package. So this is the help that the Senate offers restaurants after 2 years of nothing short of hell getting through the pandemic. And it's frankly insulting because there's a lot of issues that restaurants need help with. You know, outdoor dining has been one of the few gleaming successes of the pandemic. All the executive orders that are allowing that to happen are set to expire at the end of this season. So we need help. We actually need economic development help. This isn't that. This is something to win Twitter applause with, like, young people, I guess. But it's not helping the restaurants. It's not helping operators. It's not helping society. So I just wish that they would actually take their job seriously and stop, you know, trying to be fun.
So Cheryl Strotter, turning to you, I'm going to give you a little more sound from State Senator Julian Sear, who sponsored the amendment in the Senate.
We're talking about, you know, businesses having the ability to decide whether or not they serve breakfast or do they have a late night menu. So I don't think it's so much as pits towns or municipalities sort of against one another. I think what it does is it gives a city or a town another tool to attract people to come to that town.
So focusing there, the reason I wanted to play that for you, Cheryl Strotter, so Philip has just said, hey, the pandemic has killed us as restaurant owners. We need serious relief. Sears making a different argument there, which is that actually this is for the city or town, not the restaurant. So one, your reaction to Philip saying, God, and let me backtrack, how many restaurant owners we've talked to in the last 2 years who have bemoaned a lack of sufficient economic response from the state. So pick up on that. But what if it's good for the city or town, Cheryl Strotter?
So I think that the municipalities have to decide that. This proposal pales in line with what we need to come back into a fruitful revenue stream since COVID. So I do agree that this is not the best economic plan, but what it does do is it gives restaurants in certain areas the option and the choice to institute this, and they can decide whether it's good for business. I believe that it will bring business in because people want to get out. They want to socialize. Like, being closed in for 2 years has been a challenge for every every industry. So I think it would be good for business, but it has to be brought back in a way that is really at the focus of safety. I remember what happened in Weymouth. You know, I'm quite old, so I remember that, and it was terrible.
So I want to pick up on that. A couple of things. First, more from our listeners. And by the way, if you want to join our texting group, you text the word Boston to 617-766-0382. That's Boston to 617-766-0382. Lance of West Roxbury told us, yes, please, I'll go out more and promise to Uber, end quote. So to pick up, things have changed. We do have rideshare services. We have, I would argue, a different culture to some extent around drinking than we did in the early and mid-1980s. So I think about, have the times changed so that what we saw then, Philip Frateroli, is not necessarily what we can assume? And let me backtrack. Washington Post reporting, Illinois, Kansas, they reversed theirs, did not see significant upticks of drunk driving after reversing their bans. Philip.
I mean, I think it just kind of speaks to happy hour stems from this culture where the restaurant and the restaurant workers are servants of the customer. And why should restaurants be or bars be expected to discount their wares? There's a lot of thought and care that goes into menu creation and menu pricing. If we're going to talk about a change in the culture, The culture also represents the fact that restaurant owners are at a higher esteem in society than they were 40 years ago when the local tavern owner was looked down on and his wares were expected to be discounted as a trade-off for getting customers. We're in a different place now, and I think society should represent that change, that businesses, small businesses, restaurants, and bars are an important part of our society. It's an important part of our economy in Massachusetts. And we shouldn't expect something for half off or a discount just because other states are
just
doing
it,
or that was the way of the past.
So, Cheryl Strotter, is there a way to stop the race to the bottom? So I think, and Philip, I'm going to summarize from my perspective part of what I'm hearing you say, which is when you just can't do it, then there's no temptation and there's no catalyst from one desperate restaurant owner or somebody who's got a lot of extra cash and can afford to discount to force almost like the kind of price wars you'd see, Cheryl, at gas stations across the street from each other. Is there any other way to avoid that race to the bottom? Or is Philip right that it is inevitable if happy hour comes back?
I think restaurant owners have been very creative since the pandemic, not only in what they offer for food, but, you know, this upcoming conversation about alcohol. So I would approach this as perhaps having a certain discounted menu, not necessarily all of the drinks that you have on your menu. You maintain your signature drinks at that price, but then offer something. We have been creative so much at Soleil with our food menu. I'm in an office building, so you can imagine the number of people we lost as a part of our revenue stream. So we have been, you know, on that brain sink treadmill for a long time trying to figure out how to meet profit and, you know, pay our staff and stay afloat. So I think that the discounted drink menu could also be approached in the same manner. You get creative in what you offer for half price.
So I want to pivot for just a minute because I feel like you've offered a context to bring in another piece of the news of the day. So, Philip, I'm mindful that, you know, the Orange Line, Haymarket, stop, right? You guys are talking about the unbelievable financial pressures. Cheryl, you've talked about surviving in an office building over COVID these last couple of years. Philip, starting with you, news that the Orange Line's shutting down for a month. As a restaurant owner, what does that mean to and for you?
Yeah, it's the T is an important partner for all businesses, especially in the city. And you know, we're dismayed. We also have a restaurant in East Boston, and we're facing tunnel closures on the weekends, and eventually that's going to be
the Sumner.
Yeah, that's going to be more permanent. I mean, it just speaks to, unfortunately, that this is necessary, and there's been just underfunding of the T and of our infrastructure for too long. And it's come to roost at this point. And, you know, small businesses are going to bear that. And as a society, we have to bear it. But I think it's important work. And I think, you know, it has to get done.
You sound kind of resigned. You kind of sound like...
It's, yeah, I mean, the political environment right now in the country, whether it comes from infrastructure or climate change or all these things, you know, it's resigning. It's kind of frustrating. And hopefully we, you know, this is a great country. We used to do great things, and I hope we can do great things again. But
Cheryl, you chuckled when I talked about Philip's sigh.
Because I understand. I mean, that exhale is honest and it's sincere. You know, public transportation is part of the bigger picture of how this could be safer. You know, it was mentioned about the third-party apps, Lyft, and things like that. And there should be some type of campaign where, you know, there is this encouraged position to use somebody else to take you home if, in fact, that you are in a state of needing help. So that missing piece, when I heard that the Orange Line was closing down, you know, I sighed. It's like, you know, how creative can we be when there are external factors that are impacting our business that we have no control over?
Yeah. All right. And on that note, Cheryl Strotter, owner of Soleil Restaurant and Catering in Roxbury. She's also a member of the Boston Black Hospitality Coalition. And Philip Frateroli, managing partner and CEO of Fillmark Hospitality Group, which owns restaurants in both Boston and Winchester. Thanks to both of you for joining us about happy hour today.
Thank you.
Thank you, Tiziana.